So, this is the Netzpolitik podcast. My name is Linus Neumann, and I have here with me Marcela Rojo, who is with the Global Fund and invited me here to Lesotho in Africa to have a look at their work. So, Marcela, maybe you can introduce to us the Global Fund in a couple of words.
Yes, sure. Hi. I'm Marcela Rojo and I work for the media relations team at the Global Fund. And the Global Fund is an international financing institution that raises money to give to the countries so that they fight the three most deadly diseases, which are AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. We have presence in 145 countries, so 145 countries have applied to monies to the Global Fund, and around 600 programs are supported by the Global Fund worldwide.
And where does your money actually come from? Is it private sector? Is it companies that donate money?
Yeah, 95% of the funds that come to the Global Fund come from donor countries. And the donor countries are the governments, and G8 countries are the ones that contribute the most money to the Global Fund since 2002, which was when it was created. So it was an initiative from the G8.
So, it is a G8 initiative, and it's only been started in 2002.
Yeah.
So, very young organization.
Very young learning organization, yes.
And you just said it's you raise money for other projects. So, do you run any projects by your own? Like, are there any Global Fund projects?
No, the Global Fund is not an implementer agency. We're just a financing institution, which means that the country will present a proposal to the Global Fund and a panel of experts will assess that to make sure that the proposal is feasible and that it can be implemented, and then recommends it to the board of the Global Fund. Then the Global Fund board makes the decision whether to approve the proposal that the country has presented. But it's the country that presents that actually implements the program. So the Global Fund is not an implementer. That's why we don't have a presence in the countries. It's the country that is the owner of the program. We work on the concept of country ownership.
So you help countries to help themselves?
Basically, yes. We don't provide technical assistance, though. So it's the country that has to actually show us that they can actually implement a program, and then we finance it. But for technical assistance, for example, in preparing a proposal, it's the World Health Organization, WHO, or UNAIDS, or any of the other international organizations that can actually give advice on presenting proposals to the Global Fund, but the Global Fund won't assist the countries in that.
You just said the money you get is the money you basically distribute for your cause for countries. How do you finance the organization itself?
The organization has a secretariat, and the secretariat is based in Geneva, Switzerland. There's only one office, so that's the one that at the moment has approximately 550 employees. The board of the Global Fund requires that the contributions that that donors make are put in an account at the World Bank, because the contributions need to be ready to be given to the countries. Because of the large amount of contributions, those contributions generate an interest. And the interest that is generated from those contributions is the one that funds the secretariat in Geneva. Every dollar that the donors give us go to the country, so there's no overhead cost. So the countries receive all the money that are being given from the donors without any overhead cost to implement for programs on the three diseases.
Okay, so this sounds like a great idea, but what I think I would worry about is how do you try to avoid corrupt usage or corruption taking place with the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are several issues with how to make sure that the country provides results, because one of the requirements of the Global Fund is that to disburse any money, the country needs to show results. So, for example, if they say they're going to put 20,000 people in treatment, we need to make sure before we disburse any more money that they have actually done it. So that's one way to ensure that results are being achieved. In terms of how to make sure that those results are real, the Global Fund hires in each country a company that's called the local fund agent, and that company is the one that will do, it's a third party, so they will do the oversight and make sure the results are correct. Now, in terms of corruption, there's what we call an Office of the Inspector General that sits in Geneva as well, but it's completely separate from the Secretariat because they have to keep their independence, so they report directly to the board. The Office of the Inspector General does inspections, and they have routine inspections, and they have other inspections that are actually generated by any calls or anyone complaining about issues of corruption. So the Office of the Inspector General will go to the country and investigate. And sometimes those investigations may take months. But the idea of the Global Fund and how the Global Fund has gained the reputation in terms of transparency is because each time that there's something like that happens in the country, there's a report being published in our website and there's a press release. Uh-huh. So people can see in the website which grants have been suspended because of corruption issues.
How many grants are those? Like, how many grants have been
I wouldn't
canceled?
Be able to tell you, for example, now in terms since 2002, but for example, I can tell you four grants that I remember from the top of my head that have been suspended in Mauritania, Indonesia, Zambia, and there's one, and Philippines. But you can look on the website, or I invite your readers to look on the website under the press releases, and they can see which grants have been suspended and not receiving any more money because of issues of corruption.
So now you mentioned four. Overall, I think you said there have been 600 ever since the Global Fund started.
145 countries.
And okay, but those four, you know, might be they add up to 10 in the end because you don't remember every case, but it
right.
seems to be a very small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you've taken action, which seems interesting.
And you also have to see the reason in each of the countries, right? For example, in Myanmar, we suspended the grant in 2005, but that was a different issue, right? Because it was an issue of access. Mm. We weren't able to do the oversight of the programs because of the regime, you know, in Myanmar and the situation there. But for example, in 2005, we published a Q&A, like a questions and answers, explaining each step that we took when we had to, you know, stop aid, because stopping aid in a country it really makes, it's a problem. So you have to make sure that the people who actually suffers are not the ones that get, you know, the damage because of other people's actions. So we also have policies for that, and well, I could explain you a bit more if you want on those.
Please,
okay,
because
so.
It's really one of the main issues in develop aid or medical aid or whatever you want to call it. What you're doing is, that sometimes you get the idea that either the money is wasted on some kind of organization that funds its own projects and most of all its own employees.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem is, how do you deal with corrupt governments, or how do you deal with dictatorships? And there's also been well, it's often raised the idea of developmental aid as a political weapon. So how do you address
well,
these issues?
Again, you can see some of these examples on the website and how each of the, you know, of these cases have been handled separately, because each case is a different, like you say, there are times that maybe funds have been used to benefit an organization and not the beneficiaries, or for example, you know, like this question, this issue I was telling you about access. If we're not able to see the results, then we're not able to fund, you know, the country.
But so transparency is a requirement.
The core of the Global Fund operation. The core of the Global Fund operation is transparency. If we cannot see the results, then we cannot give fund to a country. The problem is the people who are actually, you know, suffering, they're not responsible for the regime of the country. They're not, you know, they shouldn't be able to have they should be able to have access to medication regardless of their government. I mean, the Global Fund does not discriminate because of that. I mean, so for example, one of the things is a policy called continuation of services. So if something happens in a country when there's a corruption issue and it's being investigated, the grants, you suspend the money is given to the government, and you do the continuation of services so that people that are on ARV can continue receiving the treatments.
How do you do that?
Well, you do it through, you make sure that the money goes through as a different agent or UNICEF or, I don't know, it could be any international organization that is willing to, you know, act as an intermediary until the problem gets solved.
Okay, so so far you have a requirement of transparency, and whenever you detect corruption or requirements of transparency are not met, you suspend the funding or try to find another way to help
people. There's different terminology, and I wouldn't want to get into that because maybe I'm not too familiar with the terminology, but there's suspension, there's termination, there's different concepts that the grant... So, for example, you can suspend a grant until they prove several things.
Okay.
You can terminate a grant if it's you know that it's absolutely no...
And the ones, the four ones you just told me about were just suspended. They were not actually cancelled.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but again, you have to see each of the cases, and that's why, because the source, it's all in our website, all of the information of how monies are being spent, how, you know, people access the funds, how much donors give us, how many grants were suspended, like everything is there, because that's we owe to our donors, and that has been one of the concepts since the Global Fund started.
And these the data you provide there, you only provide it as press releases, or do you also are they already, you know, in a nice format to,
there's
like statistically
thousands and millions of papers, of reports and pages on, you know, on every possible country we have. We launched actually a very innovative section of our website called Grant Performance Web. Sorry, I can't remember the name. You have every country there with all of the grants for each of the country and all of the reports for each of the countries and how, what are the results and how much money they spent on each grant. And you have, you know, reports of pages and pages that...
So I actually, the projects I just saw today, I could just really click on the website and find them.
And find everything that I've given you before you came to the trip, it comes from there. It's just that people don't take the time to actually go to the website and look, because there's lots of information. But,
So what do you do? At Netzpolitik, we fight a lot for this open data and transparency idea.
Yeah.
It's very, it's a very important issue for us. What we notice is that, it takes a lot of work and doesn't get a lot of appreciation, unfortunately. What do you do to spread the word or try to convince people of whatever you're doing?
Well, in terms of the results, we owe it to our donors, and donors are the ones that go look for the information. The general public are welcome to come and look at the information because we know it's taxes money after all. So we've been promoting our work and our website for a long time, but one of the ways that we have for promoting our work is also showing firsthand the programs and how the countries work on their programs. And this trip is one example of that, because it's not the same that I call you on the phone and I tell you there are great programs in Lesotho, that you come with me and actually look at the program. So for us, it's really important to show you as a new a new way of giving information, like your blog does. It's not traditional media, and for us it's important to reach to non-traditional media so that the public is actually aware that these programs exist, because if it wasn't, it weren't for you or for the other bloggers that joined the trip, the public wouldn't know that these programs are here, because no one pays attention.
So if I go home and write articles saying that these programs fail and everything is horrible, will you be mad at me, or will you thank me for supporting your transparency idea?
Well, I think we are here with the idea to show you how the program works and how international aid works. It's up to you. You are looking at it, and you are the one who has to write about it. I cannot tell you what to write, because otherwise we'd be censoring you. So that wouldn't work for us. I mean, for us, it works that you actually see.
So basically what you're trying to show is that you have nothing to hide.
And the aid is effective. I mean, it's effective, but you can see it, and you will tell your readers about it. And there are things that work and things that don't work, and you can share with your readers anything you want. That's why we bring you here, so that you can see, how far the money goes.
Well, I think that answers all our questions for today. Thank you very much. And I'll add a couple of links for people to look at when I post this podcast. Thank you very much, Marcella.
Thank you.